Part 1. The War Lab. 1. A Marine Called Chaos. In July 2006, at the height of the Iraqi insurgency, American service people were being killed and maimed in unprecedented numbers. In a single month, 1,666 IEDs were detonated, and another 959 were found waiting to explode. In September 2006 alone, 776 Americans were wounded. In the first week of October, 300 more were hit. In the lexicon of after-action analysis, these warriors were right of bang. They were reactive, and the enemy triggered his explosive devices before our troops were aware of the danger. To provide perspective concerning the destructive nature of an IED, consider the Bradley fighting vehicle. The Bradley is armored and heavily armed, designed to transport and provide suppressive fire for dismounted troops in an attack. Its main weapon is a 25mm cannon, which fires up to 200 rounds per minute, 3 to 4 bullets per second, at a maximum effective range of 1.5 miles. The Bradley also weighs approximately 22 tons. The Bradley is a ferociously powerful vehicle, capable of bringing significant destructive force upon the enemy. But even the Bradley is no match for an IED. In 2004, after a Bradley struck an IED in Iraq, its armored bottom plate was found more than 60 feet from the site of the explosion. One simple yet powerful IED can destroy a $3,200,000 machine in seconds. The destructive force is even greater when IEDs are strung together in what are called daisy chains, or combined with complex direct-fire ambushes. If these statistics about IEDs are not startling enough, other intelligence estimates indicated that the insurgents were actively hunting soldiers on patrol. Beginning in 2005, several videos were released by an insurgent group called the Islamic Army in Iraq that depicted an enemy sniper killing American soldiers and Marines. This individual became known as the Juba Sniper, and it is unknown how many soldiers and Marines he wounded before his capture. The figures are certainly in the double digits, perhaps even the triple digits. The effect of the videos and the targeting of troops on patrol was unnerving. The long hours of foot and vehicle patrols and standing guard made Marines and soldiers fatigued and complacent. The set patterns made their targeting easy. It was obvious to the troops on the ground that stateside training was inadequate in finding the sniper and others like him hiding in plain sight. The IEDs and the targeting of American forces by Iraqi insurgent snipers gravely threatened the entire U.S. war effort. Something had to be done. The first response from the military establishment was to increase production and employment of better body armor and heavier armored vehicles. These steps helped. But they also made U.S. Marines and soldiers clumsier, slower, and more obvious targets than before. It was a losing battle because the larger we made vehicles and the thicker we made armor, the larger and more deadly the insurgents made the IEDs. Although the addition of armor and other technologies helped protect troops from IEDs, we were only treating symptoms, not the cause. Marine General James Mattis, call sign Chaos, had a different idea. Mattis was the commander of the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, commanding all Marines in Iraq. While Mattis believed in the importance of integrating the technology, he also saw the limitations of what was then available. The technology at the time mostly provided a defensive capability, and he wanted to go on the offense. He wanted to take away the enemy's options of when and where the IED could be detonated. To make Marines more tactically cunning on the battlefield, he believed in creating not only better technology, but also better training. In fall 2006, he requested that the Marine Corps develop a program to instill a hunter-like mindset in Marines, train Marines for increased situational awareness, proactively seek threats, and have a bias for action. Mattis wanted Marines to be the predators, not the prey. This directive from Chaos was the genesis of the combat.